And very shortly, we're going to have Marty Wilde doing a little interview here for you Lionheart Radio listeners. We're going to take you over to Marty Wilde right now. How are you doing, Marty?
I'm doing well, and you?
Fine, thanks. So you're up touring here at Anik, and you're at the Playhouse with us on Thursday and Friday, Marty. Are you looking forward to the gig?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. I've been there several times before, and it's, apart from anything else, it's just a lovely area. The people are very sweet, and it's just a beautiful area. I think Anik's a very, very lovely place to live, you know, I'll be honest with you. It's beautiful, quite beautiful.
Yeah, funny enough, I was thinking about that last night, and I was wondering what your favourite spots are in Northumberland. Which particular places do you like?
Well, I like Anik, obviously, for many reasons. The people, the theatre's gorgeous, and the castle. You know, it's got everything there. It's right close to the coast. You know, you're close to the Scottish border. You can go to Scotland if you want to. You can go into, go into Geordie Land if you want to go south a little bit. So it's got everything really surrounding it. So it's beautiful.
So I was watching a little bit of you on YouTube last night to just get up to speed with your career. I am well aware of your career with Rubber Ball and Teenager in Love. And I was watching an interview, I think it was on Cumbria. There was Billy Fury and there was Joe Brown. Can you tell me a little bit about the early days in your rock and roll career, Marty, please?
Well, the early days were sort of some of the most exciting times, I think, in British pop music. Everything was just so exciting and new, and it was like, in those days, we were kind of singular take that, if you know what I mean. We were like...
Yeah.
We had the same reaction as take that wherever we went, so eventually that would change, but that was probably a good thing anyway. I'm not sure I would like that all my life, but it was a fantastic time to have been around. The songs were great. The songs have survived. You know, half the gold stations are playing music that we made, you know, 50 years ago, so that proof in the pudding. And it just was a lovely time. I think there was less pressure on people like teenagers than there is today. And it was a lot easier for us to live our lives, you know.
I hope you don't think this is a pertinent question, but I did put it down on my little sheet here. I says, what do you put down to your longevity in the business, Marty?
I think a lot of foresight. I think you must... I think foresight, hard work as much as anything, I think. And obviously, probably the most important ingredient... It's just good luck. You know, you need good luck with your health and you need good luck generally in your life. You know, you have to make the right moves at the right time. But I think foresight, you know, to have ideas. I've always been an ideas man. So when one thing has failed, I've moved on to the other. And so I've been lucky that way, you know, to have had that kind of backup. But I think hard work, good luck, all those things and a little bit of a... Just, I think talent is if you say 100% of a person, I think talent is probably around about 15%. The rest is, is organisation, good luck, and God knows what else, you know.
Yeah, well, what actually got you into rock and roll? What I was going to say, who are your particular influences musically?
Oh, well, I mean, I had several, really. But the biggest influence, obviously, was Elvis. Elvis was and still is my favourite artist of all time, I guess, as a rock and roll singer. And also there was Jerry Lee Lewis, Buddy Holly, and obviously, you know, these were people, Eddie Cochran, that had a huge influence on me.
You got the chance to tour with some of the American rock and rollers in the early days, didn't you?
Yes, well, I met quite a few of them in my time. So, I saw Jerry Lee Lewis work. I was working with him. And I saw Carl Perkins and people like that, you know, some of the greats.
Gene Vincent?
Buddy Holly, or Elvis, but I saw most of the others. Bill Haley I saw working. So it was just a great, great privilege to watch great artists.
Yeah, and Larry Pons, was he quite a good bloke to work for? Was he a good manager?
He was he was as good a manager, I guess, as you get. I think with management, they're inclined to, not all of them, but a lot of them are normally, and they can make really bold moves, which are really good for your career, but they can also do some really bad moves. So they're kind of a mixture, really. But he was as good as he gets, I think. I think he was the best manager outside of Colonel Tom Parker in America who managed Elvis. So, yeah, he was a great manager.
Talking about moves and stuff like that by management, well, I saw you did a little bit of glam for a very short period of time as Zappo, but I was just thinking, could you enlighten us a little bit more as to that period in your career, please?
Well, yeah, I think I only ever made one record under that name, but it was one of our, I suppose, unsubtle digs at pop music in a way.
Yeah.
And we were laughing at glam
so it was
glam
a spoof.
Music, and we thought it was, I thought it was anyway, very funny, and so did my partner, and we were writers. We were songwriters, and we'd written, we'd written hits together, so, and he'd written hits on his own. He wrote Cuckoo and a lot of...
Alvin Stardust,
Alvin Stardust hits. So, and we'd had Love Me, Love My Dog and all that sort of thing. So I said, why don't we write a glam thing? I'll be the glam thing. I mean, the only danger would have been, if it had been a hit, I couldn't have done it again. So it was a one-off, really, a good laugh.
So you're not going to wear a glam outfit tomorrow night, then?
No, I couldn't wear it these days. No, I wouldn't wear it these days. But it was great fun at the time. I remember I did one TV dressed as Superman. Can remember that. And those days now, things have changed. Things have changed in our industry now.
Well, it's not the business we used to know, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think I think a lot of it is better, maybe in some ways. Obviously, things improve. I think venues have improved, sound systems. Some managements are good. I suppose some managers they're a lot more professional. I mean, the markets are bigger now for artists, so. Some things have improved, and the only thing I think which is bad, which is, I wouldn't like to have been around to be a new, to, you know, to begin my career now, is the fact that there's no longevity with I would say about 95% of all artists are not going to last.
And here today, bad. Gone tomorrow sort of style.
Yeah, it's a bit like fast food, isn't it, you know? And I think it's natural. I don't care who the artist is. If you put someone on the front page of every newspaper and for 52 weeks of the year and they're in your face all the time, you know, people get bored, and that's what didn't happen in the old days because there wasn't the newspapers around to do that, not really.
Well, just thinking about what you said there, really people had to go out and see acts in those days, but nowadays with the internet and everything else, people don't seem to go to gigs like they used to. And I was talking to a guy, I don't know if you know him, an agent called Mick Eve other day, but we were just saying it doesn't seem to be the medium-sized venues for acts to appear in seem to have disappeared. It's either a very small dive or a massive arena or something like that.
I think the thing that can say that is, you know, is... The theatres, a lot of theatres now, I think, have saved, resurrected a lot of artists. They've helped me immeasurably, the smaller theatres have, because you can't, you know, the big theatres you play when you've got big hit records and you're part of that sort of thing, but I think the smaller theatres, in some ways, are more of an advantage for the public and the person watching the show, because they are... You know, you can actually feel the energy of the person on the stage, whereas at some, you know, damn great, venue, you know, you're kind of cut off, you're too distant, I think.
I think it spoils it now, because I've been to Newcastle Arena, Metro Radio, and you have sort of these big screens either side, and the trouble is people just tend to watch the screens anyway.
Well, that's right, you might as well sit indoors and watch it, a bit like watching football on TV, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I much prefer watching football on TV because I can see the goals replayed, and I can sort of enjoy myself without some oaf screaming down my ear.
I was just wondering, I was looking at the lineup of the band in the early days, the Wildcats, big Jim Sullivan on lead guitar, Bobby Clark on drums, and Brian Locking on bass guitar, and Brian Bennett, who went on to play drums for the Shadows. Have you got any of those guys still playing with you?
No. They've all moved. I mean, and Brian still plays with the Shadows. Licorice Locking doesn't. He plays on his own. He's got his own band. Big Jim Sullivan has not been very well, although I saw Jim the other day. But no, most of them have moved on. They do their own thing. And my band are comparative youngsters with me. They've been with me 25 years, so they're youngsters, really.
Yeah.
Ironically, I'm going to to see my daughter Roxanne. She's leaving on a tour. She's going away for a year with Kylie Minogue. She's on tour with her. So it's my last chance to see her, so I'm going to disappear in a minute and go and see her.
It's been a pleasure, I must say. And have you got a message for the fans who's coming along on Thursday and Friday night here at Alec?
Yes, I have. I mean, I look forward to seeing everybody at the Playhouse. It's a beautiful venue, and our show is all nostalgia. There's no modern songs. It's just songs which came from one of the greatest eras that that you could have lived in. It was fantastic for any teenager to have been alive at that time. So I just remind people how great it was. I work hard, and I try to sing as good as I can. I try to please my audience. So it's, I'm looking forward to it tremendously.
Right, well, thanks once more, Marty, and I'm sure the crowd will have a smashing time at Alec Playhouse on Thursday and Friday with you, Marty Wilde.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay. Man, what a lovely chap he is. So if you've got the chance and you've got a few spare bob in your pocket, get yourself along to the Playhouse. He's on Thursday and Friday night, and I'm sure you'll have a smashing time. What a professional guy.